From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we bring you another episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's very special guest is his eldest son, David Hanegraaff. And the tables have been turned as David interviews his father. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
I'm really excited to be in studio with my son, David. David has an incredible ability to communicate, and that ability has been so helpful for me in so many different ways. For example, he recently wrote a letter, which is posted on the web at equip.org. In that letter, he talks about what it is like growing up as the son of the Bible Answer Man, sitting in the back of conventions and speaking engagements. I read that piece and thought, wow, he not only can communicate well, but he can write extraordinarily well. And so I've been looking forward to doing this Hank Unplugged podcast with my son, David. He's going to ask me some questions to get it rolling. I don't know if I can say this about the podcast, but usually we say the podcast is about bringing the most interesting, informative, inspirational people on the planet directly to you. I don't want to say that about myself. I'll certainly say that about my son. I do want to mention at the outset as well that David was used by the Lord to save my life. I had gone into the hospital, and many of you are aware of this because I've communicated this in some of my Facebook videos. But I had gone into the hospital on June 4. My transplant was June 11. From June 4 to June 11, I was on the treadmill every single day. My attitude was, I've got this. I've got this. I can overcome this. And then after the transplant, I had the exact same feeling. I've got this. So I received the stem cells of one of my sons, Paul Stephen. And the next day I was on the treadmill again. And in the back of my mind, there was always the little moniker given to me by a friend who was going through cancer as well. He is now absent from the body, present with the Lord. His name was Donnie. We made friends sitting in chemo chairs together, receiving the poison that was designed to cure us. But like Donnie, I kept going back in from remission back into having the tumors grow. And Donnie was one of the most positive people I'd ever met in my life. But in the back of my mind, I could hear him say, when I was thinking, I've got this, he would always say, God's got you. God's got you. Well, on the 25th of June, I had been on the treadmill. I was back in my room. My daughter Christina had come to visit me. She had just left. And I went to use the restroom. I was sitting on the toilet, and suddenly my son David came into the room. And he was asking me some questions, and he thought my answers were rather incoherent, more so than ever. So my son David thought, something's up. And I called the nursing staff, and by the time the nursing staff came in, I had slipped into an unconscious state. I don't remember what happened after that. I was told by David and my wife what happened after that. I went to ICU, and for those 3 days, I have little recollection. I have a few vague recollections, but by and large, that was a period of time that I don't remember. It was a little scary when my wife started explaining to me some of the things that were going on. The doctors want to ventilate me. They want to put me on a ventilator so I no longer would breathe on my own, but I would have an apparatus that would cause me to breathe. My body swelled up to the point where my face was orangish red and you couldn't even see my features. And after those 3 days, something miraculously happened to me. I transitioned from I've got this, to completely internalizing what Donnie had said to me. God's got you. And the idea is God has me in the palm of his hand. That's the extension of the statement. Well, after ICU, I had to do some walking. I couldn't go back on the treadmill. But that phrase, that moniker, God's got you, kept going through my mind. And the first day I was able to walk down the hallways with my mask on, with my garb on, I ran into a guy named Ramsey. And both Donnie and Ramsey, if I recall correctly, had the same disease, multiple myeloma. And Ramsey looked at me, introduced himself to me, and we started talking about our diseases and where we were in the process. And then he said, Hank, God's got you. And I will tell you, I had what you would say in Dutch is called kippenvel, chicken skin. I had bumps all over my body. I was so moved that God had sent a younger version of Donnie to say the exact same thing that Donnie said. And I should add quickly that Donnie went home to hospice, and even after he went home to hospice, called me and told me that God had revealed to him that God was going to do a miraculous work in my life and never to give up. And then he went home to be with the Lord. My wife went to his funeral. Unfortunately, I couldn't go because of my condition. But from that moment on, it was no longer, I've got this. It was, God's got you. God's got you in the palm of his hand. And that was so transcendently significant, because after I came out of ICU, I could no longer take care of myself. The nurses had to change my diapers. I was wearing diapers, literally. The nurses had to wash me, meaning that all the dignity and privacy that I had cherished before, gone. And all of that was transformational. Transformational, maybe symbolic of coming to an end of myself. Realizing that it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. If it hadn't been for my son David coming into the room at precisely the right time, I would have not only slipped into unconsciousness, I would have slipped into the presence of the Lord. Somehow or other, David, God motivated you to come at a particular time. You'd visit me every day, and I think you missed one day. And if I recall the story correctly, you were feeling a little guilty missing the day, and so you came in early, early compared to the time that you would normally come in. And that was exactly the right time to come in.
It was providence. Yeah, I had visited you every single day at the hospital, typically around the same time. And the day before you went to the ICU, it was a Sunday, so I had all the time in the world to go. And for some reason, I didn't make it. And it actually kept me up at night, so that was the first thing that I thought about in the morning. And I went in around 10:30, which was far earlier than I typically would go in, and I see that as nothing but a sign of God's providence in our lives, that he put me there, and that he also put the right nurse there. The nurse had written a Bible verse up on your whiteboard that day.
Actually, a whole passage, Psalm 139.
Mm-hmm. And she was a younger nurse that I felt more comfortable with, and so once I had noticed that you were different than normal, I just stuck my head out of the door and I whistled for her, and I don't think I would have done that to just any nurse. So it was the combination of people that were put in your life at that particular moment that I find to be providential. And that's really what I wanted to begin this conversation with, is how the Lord's timing is perfect and how he puts us into particular places for a purpose. And you're approaching about 100 days since your allogeneic stem cell transplant.
Another 7 days to go.
Mm-hmm.
As we speak?
Yeah, as we speak. By the time this airs, you'll probably already be there, and glory to God, you're looking great. But it's been about 3 years since you were diagnosed with cancer, and that also coincided with your chrismation into the Orthodox Church. And I wanted you to elaborate on the synergy between those two circumstances and how, in my eyes, it's clearly providential that they happened on the same week, because I don't know that you would have been able to achieve your goals in both without the other.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that I had been studying Orthodoxy for a long period of time. To give a little bit of a time frame to this, my first book, which was published in 1993, Christianity in Crisis, I talked about deification in terms of all of its aberrations. But in that book I noted, and this is way back in 1993, probably something that I wrote early 90s, I wrote about Orthodoxy being a legitimate expression of deification.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with his son, David Hanegraaff. In Truth Matters, Life Matters More, Hank explains what it means to participate in the divine nature, to move beyond the notion of God as an abstract idea, and to know God in Jesus Christ as a personal transformational presence. Receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More when you call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
In the new book, The Cross Before Me, Pastor Rankin Wilborn and philosopher Brian Greger offer a provocative perspective on why the cross is not just the way to salvation, but the way to the abundant life. Drawing on biblical truth and historical writings, they ask, why do we still feel restless when things seem to be going our way? How can suffering bring more peace than success brings? And what does Jesus' cross teach us about how to live a full and flourishing life? This unique book helps us reimagine the good life as we learn to delight in surrendering our own power and embracing the life-giving weakness of the cross. Be sure to read The Cross Before Me. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Let's rejoin Hank and his son, David Hanegraaff, in their conversation.
The early church fathers talked about deification and talked about the glorious reality that we can become by grace what God is by nature. If we became what God is by nature, then there would be millions of hypostases. There would be millions of subjects within the Godhead. But we don't become what God is in his essence. Perish the thought. But we become by grace what God is by nature. And of course, that happens in various ways. That happens through the graces that we receive within the context of the church. Well, to get back to your original question, that's all prologue. I had become increasingly distressed with my own spiritual condition. I'd gone to China. When I was in China, I saw people who perhaps did not have the theological acumen that I had developed over the years, but they were experiencing a knowing of God that was intoxicating. And as I wrote in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, I was flying back from China. And while I was in the air, I was staring out at the cumulus clouds, and I was deep in thought. And I was wondering at that time, was I even a Christian? I had debated truth, defined truth, defended truth, but I was not experiencing God as these humble Chinese people were experiencing God. And I recognized that. I recognized that through my interactions with them. And so this sent me out on a quest. And that quest lasted a long time. I started filling in great gaps in my own learning. The greatest gap was the gap which had to do with history itself. Maybe my understanding of history went back to the Reformation. I knew about Athanasius and Irenaeus and Polycarp. I could talk about them. But I didn't really understand how significant they were in not only bringing us the Bible, but giving us an apt translation of the Bible as well. So, as I pondered all of these things, and as I began studying more and more throughout the years, this started back in 2003, actually, I finally got to the point of disillusionment. I got to the point of thinking, you know what? There is something really missing in my life. And I remember vividly telling Kathy and the kids, I'm going to start doing some exploring. Now, this takes us all the way up to a period of time that predates my chrismation in the Orthodox Church of about 3 years. So I said, I'm going to do some exploring. And I started ticking off what I could and could not handle theologically. And as I was on my way to explore another church, and I didn't really know where I was going, I sort of prayed that the Lord would reveal it to me. I suddenly started thinking, you know what? I have experienced Orthodoxy all over the world, in the West Bank, in Kyiv, in the Ukraine, in Moscow. But there's always been a language barrier. And that made me think, you know what? Wonder what it would be to experience Orthodoxy without a language barrier. And that led me to a church I'd driven downtown, I guess you call it uptown, Charlotte. And I happened to see a church, Holy Trinity. And it was an Orthodox church. So I pulled in. There's hardly anybody in the parking lot. I looked at my phone. It looked like they had services starting when I pulled in. Services called Vespers, but I didn't know the difference between Vespers and liturgy. So I walked in the church. There was hardly anybody there. Sat down. And by myself, began experiencing God through my senses, the sense of smell, the incense. I still remember opening the door into that cathedral and having this switch go on. I'm not here for an experience that is human-centered, but I am here to worship God. So whatever experience comes, comes for the worship of God. So I walked into that auditorium, and I sat down, and eventually the church started filling up during liturgy. That was my first experience where I could actually understand what was going on. The next week, I decided to try to find a church that was closer by, an Orthodox church. And again, I Googled, and I found St. Nectarius, which was very, very close to where I live. And I went to liturgy at St. Nectarius. And after liturgy, I went up for what's commonly known in English as the fellowship bread. And one of the priests, Father John, saw me and he said, "Are you Hank Hanegraaff?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, you've had such an impact on our church. And we love you." And later on, I went into the fellowship hall and I ran into a man who was a truck driver who had come to faith in Christ as a result of listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So immediately I started feeling at home and I decided that I would go the next week, and I went the next week, and I went the next week, and the week after that. And somewhere in that process, my wife and my kids stopped me at the door as I was leaving for St. Nectarius, and they would typically go to the church we went to previously. And they said, "We want to go with you." And I said, "Absolutely not. You're not going with me." My wife, who you don't say no to, said, "No, we're going with you." And I said, "Honey, you are not going with me." And she and the kids said, "Why not?" I said, "Because you're not ready to go with me. It will freak you out, quite frankly. It'll blow your circuits." And so my wife was insistent, as were the kids. And so I said, "Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll go to the office and I'll photostat something that I read, which is very concise, gives you a little idea of what you're going to experience when you go. If you read that, have at it, go with me." And so they did that. They read that. They went with me. And we sat down, and of course, with all my kids, we take up a big space in the church. And I guess we didn't go incognito, pretty obvious. We sat down, and lo and behold, we had no longer seated ourselves than this guy in a black suit looked like he was in his 80s. He shuffled by us, asking us to move our feet so he'd get by us, and he sat right down in between me and Kathy. And during the entirety of the liturgy, he was explaining everything that went on. Now, I'd had a steady dose. I'd studied Orthodoxy. This was Kathy's first experience. Well, when you have been married as long as I've been married, you know exactly how your wife is going to react. So when we walked out of liturgy and we're headed for the fellowship hall, I asked Kathy, "What did you think?" And I fully, 100% expected her to say, "Get me out of here." Instead, she said, "I loved it." So 1 week turned into another week. We kept going and going and going. And of course, in Orthodoxy, they have closed communion, so we couldn't take the Eucharist. And as I had continued to study, I became convinced that the Eucharist is the medicine of immortality. That the Eucharist is providing for us an energy that is not biological, it's zoetic. It is the energy of God. It is the real body and blood of Christ. It is the pure body, precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, mingled with our humanity. Transformational, but we couldn't take it. Well, I finally got to the place where I could not anymore stand not being able to take the Eucharist. Now, I was writing a book called Truth Matters, Life Matters More. And I thought, you know, I really need to finish that book so people have a context for why I'm going to an Orthodox church. But we got to the place where we couldn't wait any longer. So on April 9th, 2017, Palm Sunday, Kathy and I decided we would be chrismated.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with his son, David Hanegraaff. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
In the new book, The Cross Before Me, Pastor Rankin Wilborn and philosopher Brian Greger offer a provocative perspective on why the cross is not just the way to salvation, but the way to the abundant life. Drawing on biblical truth and historical writings, they ask, why do we still feel restless when things seem to be going our way? How can suffering bring more peace than success brings? And what does Jesus' cross teach us about how to live a full and flourishing life? This unique book helps us reimagine the good life as we learn to delight in surrendering our own power and embracing the life-giving weakness of the cross. Be sure to read The Cross Before Me. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.